Heyo, wubba lubba dub dub. What is up, you guys? I'm the demon that Tajra took out back to cure his migraine, Brian. And I'm joined by my usual folks.
Hi guys, it's Emily. I'm the migraine that's being healed. Nice to be here.
Everyone, and because we all seem to be in shambles today, I am on my third cup of coffee because life. I'm Hannah.
You can clearly see we're all doing fantastic this week. But yeah, we are excited to get into another episode of the Hashira Half Hour here. We're going to be going over episode 8, The Smell of Enchanting Blood. Now, first off, I need that as a candle scent because I need to know what that smells like.
How has
Second,
that not happened yet?
oh my God, that girl at the con or at the pop-up. Oh my
Yeah.
God. She should make one just
I'll
for
DM
our
her.
listening viewers. We were at a pop-up this weekend for a boba tea shop, and they had a bunch of vendors, and they had an anime scent candle shop. So, like, they had Tanjiro's Total Concentration Breathing as a scent. They had Zenitsu, Thunderclap and Flash, and multiple other animes. They had some My Hero, they had some Attack on Titan. Obviously, I don't know other shows super much, but I definitely think the ones that I did know were super on point. Hannah, talk about Levi's scent. I don't know. You know Attack on Titan better than I do.
Oh my God. I mean, I ended up buying Mikasa's scent, but I think these people literally like jumped into the animes and smelled the characters because as soon as I smelled these candles, I was like, that's exactly what the character would smell like to a T. The only one that I was like, I don't think he'd smell like that was Inosuke, and simply because I was like, this is what Inosuke would smell like if he smelled good. We know Inosuke doesn't smell good, you know, but
That boy stinks.
that boy stinks. I feel like poor Tanjiro when he's around him is probably like, but oh my
Oh
gosh.
yeah. Could you imagine, like, you just have upgraded scent, and so everything that smells intensified.
Ugh.
In
Okay.
Taisho period Japan when no one wore deodorant? No, thank you.
No running water.
Bro, when you go to game shops every week, oh my God. Another side tangent. I remember playing at a game store and they kept Febreze cans at the table. And I'll leave it at that.
That's bad.
It sure is.
PSA for this week, y'all, take a shower. You deserve it,
Your...
and we need
Please, if
it.
you are also, if you are cosplaying at a convention, please wear deodorant, bring deodorant, and preferably some kind of like perfume or something, because when we are packed in, it is hot and it smells horrible every convention I've been to. Please.
Where's that one person with the sign? If you can afford tickets to the con, you can afford deodorant for it. I was like,
Oh.
rip. All right. Well, speaking of scents, Tanjiro's first impression of Tamio and Yushiro is that first scent. So, how do you guys feel about when you first saw them on screen? What kind of emotions came up, and what was your first thoughts and impressions about kind of how they were introduced?
I think this is a pretty big turning point for the show, honestly. This episode was not action-packed. It was very much story building and world building. And we're seeing for the first time two good demons. You know, we up until this point have kind of imagined all demons are bad except for Nezuko, and she's not bad because she, you know, had something weird happen to her or she's under a spell, you know. But we meet these two demons that are actually like wanting to help Tanjiro and are extremely kind and have kind, you know, kind hearts. And Tanjiro can smell that they're not trying to deceive him. And I think that is a big turning point for the show because now we know that maybe it isn't just about humans versus demons. Maybe there's a little bit more to it.
Yeah. I think my first impression getting to see these two on screen was. You know, like the contrast was extremely stark between the entrances we've seen from other demons and these two. Their entrance is like very beautiful, the way that it's animated. We see like all this floral design fly in, and it's like much more gentle and delicate, I think, than any ways that we've seen other demons. And so initially seeing it, I don't know that without the slight violence of the scratching of the arm, that we would have known necessarily whether they were demons or something else, maybe something in between. So initial reaction, beautiful entrance. And I think that it sets them up as being different, like Hannah was talking about right from the beginning. This is a little bit of a turning point. And it also kind of indicates how prevalent I think demons must be, especially in like these populated areas, because what are the odds that Tanjiro is going to be there with Nezuko, who's a demon, and he runs into three within like his first 10 minutes of being in the city? Clearly, there's quite a few of them around, and he's already interacted with so many. So I think that kind of sets up the show for, you know, how easily some of these demons and people can blend into the crowds that we're going to see.
Definitely. I love that, right? Because they are, you immediately see their contrast, you immediately see kind of their differences. And so it definitely kind of creates a different dynamic for kind of the entire faction of demons, because we've seen how individualistic each kind of demon has been so far with their own goals and mindset. So it really does create this kind of sense of disconnect within the demons themselves. So I do enjoy that moment a lot. You know, at the same time that Tanjiro is being rescued from his awkward situation, he's trying to hold down this man who is now, you know, going through a transformation, when he's trying to comfort the wife who's a doctor, trying to stop the bleeding, and the police are about to, you know, try and arrest him. We see Muzan going off into an alley, right? He's walking into two intoxicated folk. Talk to me about kind of the power demonstration shown here, because, right, we saw him turn someone into a demon, but this is the first time we see him, quote unquote, fight. How did you guys feel about this kind of situation?
I mean, honestly, when it comes to his power, I really think that it's interesting because we see him conflicted a little bit. Like, he is this villain. Does he try to give them a chance to get away? Maybe, but I kind of think that it's more along the lines of that he just doesn't really care about them and he has other stuff that he's concerned about right now. I think he's trying to avoid that conflict because, for one thing, he's more concerned about Tanjiro, right? We get to see this cool flashback with him and somebody that's unnamed, but that wears the same earrings as Tanjiro. And clearly that is a moment where I think that he's finally frightened a little bit. So that maybe is the power faltering for just a moment. And I think that he's just not concerned about the humans and just doesn't want to get into it right at that moment. You know, right from that initial like brush and the bumping into, I think he probably could have wiped them out right at that moment, but he's like, I have other things I need to go do. I want to go check this out. I'm more worried about that. And then it's only when the humans continue to push him that he's like, okay, like I'm still needing to go get this done and we're going to take care of this very quickly. So I don't know necessarily if it's that he's trying to avoid the confrontation in its entirety. I think he could wipe them out really easily, but he's preoccupied right now, is my first thought.
My my main thought process after watching that scene was, dun, dun, dun. I don't know how loud that was. wow. Like, yeah, he demonstrates some pretty incredible power. He doesn't even, like, try. With, like, the two guys, he just destroys them. They're instantly dead. And then he killed the last person in such a flashy way. Like, okay, like, you had to, like, stick your finger in her forehead and give her your blood and just let her completely explode. Like, poor girl is, like, it would have been much easier if you just slapped her against a wall, too, and moved on. But I think, you know, again, he was kind of willing to just... I think he was willing to just move on from them because obviously we kind of talked about it in the last episode. I think that seeing Tanjiro, not Tanjiro himself, but his earrings did scare him because we see this flashback where his eyes are shaking and he's like actually scared by this flashback. But he's preoccupied with thinking of that. He's ready to just keep walking. And then all they had to say was, you look like you're about to die. And you can see it in his eyes, flip the switch, instantly dead. And what a way to like really introduce the main villain. Like, we get to see this just incredible power that we can't even describe, really. Like, there's no way that Tanjiro would have a chance against that at that moment. So definitely a crazy, crazy introduction to him.
Yeah, and I think that it's really interesting, right? Because Muzan then immediately calls, you know, the homies and is like, go get him, right? And so the fact that he can also has like these willing servants who are just like at his bidding command is very interesting. Again, going kind of back to the faction of demons, because you start, like we kind of talked about at the beginning, the world building, you get to understand the entire power structure of the villains. And so I think the storytelling here is really interesting by the way that they're characterizing Muzan, but also introducing his subordinates at the same time. So it's really cool like that. You know, one of the last moments we get to see in this episode is Tanjiro getting enlisted by Tamayo to try and go ahead and make that cure for being a demon. And it's very interesting about these demons who are trying to escape their own fate to a certain extent. What does this tell us about the entire demon faction overall and kind of how they are separate and individualistic?
Oh, man. I mean, that takes a lot of willpower to remove yourself from Muzan's grasp, because like we just talked about, he's obviously extremely powerful. He's obviously like really hard to go against. You know, if you go against him, we've only seen death, you know? So I think it really shows just, first of all, how strong Tamayo might be, because she was able to remove the curse and she was able to change her body to be able to withstand things like only having a little bit of human blood so that they don't even have to kill people for nutrition. And how willing she is to help. Like, obviously, it seems like something happened to her, that she was a demon. She's ready to take on Muzan, even though she is a demon, because we haven't met that yet. We haven't seen a demon that's like, yes, I want to work against him. So definitely opens up the story for some interesting plot lines that are to come.
I agree completely. And I think that something else that is foreshadowed here is that there is clearly already some dissent in the faction. I can't even imagine how hard it must be to break away from like that creator and the will that's kind of instilled in you without your knowledge or your choice. But if any of these characters are beginning to feel dissent and act on it, even if they're demons, his ranks are going to fall apart really quickly. And I think it's interesting that, you know, they're able to work so quietly in the shadows and seemingly go relatively undetected as well in most of this, because he blends in very well, but so do they. They've done a nice job of like not really revealing their locations up to this point and being able to work on their scientific studies to try to bring this guy down. So it's falling apart, I think. It's the beginning of the end.
It's a good way to put it. You know, with Tamayo being a human doctor, right, you think she's like, my patients are my wound. But it's really interesting for her to see, like, the compassionate side. You know, where you been, Loka, right? Kind of gives me, what's his face? Edward Cullen's dad. I can't remember his name. Neil, something like that.
Carlisle.
Sure. Carlisle. Gives me like Carlisle vibes, right? Like he's only using like blood transfusions that he can buy with his medical license. Like he's trying to keep himself alive and contribute to the society, even though he's like a different race. And really, in my mind, he doesn't owe humans anything. And in the same situation with Tamayo, like this was a fate that was bestowed upon her, because we know that, you know, most people wouldn't choose to be a demon if they are turned into one. So she's really trying to give back to those who haven't been in this fate yet. So I think it's really interesting to see how they're really trying to reverse and, you know, really use their own empathy for what can come for others in this moment. So it's really cool.
Yeah, I think the episode does a really good job at kind of showing us too. It seems like Tamayo and Yashiro have been there a while, and for, you know, all purposes, it seems like Muzan's been there a while too. So they have literally been able to stay there undetected from Muzan himself, you know, up until the very end of the episode when they're found. I think that goes a long way to show just how much they are willing to do to fight against Muzan's power when that's so hard. You know, the last episode we saw this demon pretty much melt at the mention of his name. So a lot of great storytelling. That's what I'm trying to say.
and everything falling into place at exactly the right time, because they've been working towards this cure that they're talking about, and it just so happens that like Tanjiro and Nezuko fall right into their laps in the middle of this busy, bustling street. And you know that Nezuko has this very unique situation where she hasn't even needed to subsist on any kind of human blood, even if it's procured in a nonviolent way. You know, kind of providing that hope, I think, that there could be a cure and that there could be a way to revert a demon back into a human. And simultaneously then providing Tanjiro with exactly what he's looking for if he's able to help them. So again, I said it before, but the beginning of the end, I think, just everything coming together the way it's supposed to.
Perfect. You kind of have to wonder what demon was he sent after, because he was sent there for a mission. Was he sent there because Muzan was there, or was he sent there because Tamayo and Yashiro were there? What were the Demon Slayer Corps trying to do there?
Or was it somebody else entirely that we haven't even seen because they all blend in so well?
Another random demon that we never met.
Hey, I mean, I come across random demons all my life. Every day. You know, they're metaphorical demons, of course, but... All right, sweet. So, kind of going into our favorite moments, I'm going to hop into my favorite moment. I love when the two demons, first off, blast open the wall, and then also are like, how are we going to kill them? We're going to kill them vindictively. And I love sickly sweet villains. I love when they're so obsessed in their own reality that they think they're in the right. And I think it's kind of because I feel like that's an easy trance to slip into, and not for being a villain, but even being a human, right? When we look at our own situations, whether it be conflict or relationships, it's very easy to slip into the mindset that like, I'm in the right here. I'm trying to do everything correctly. And I feel like it's such a easy fallacy to fall into. And so I think that's why I appeal to those types of villains so much, is because it's so relatable to be able to think from your own perspective only. So that's kind of why it's my favorite episode, is because they're just so gross.
Totally. I think that this also is one of the only times that we've seen two of them working together, though, other than like the Tanjiro Nezuko duo. So that's also interesting.
Right.
Just throwing that out there. But love that. I have a couple things that I really liked in this episode, so I'm going to touch very briefly on each of them. Most of them are stylistic things, actually. First off, just to kind of call back to our episode last week, very great moment for me getting to see Tanjiro finally get his soup. Very important. Not one bowl, but two. That boy needs to eat. So love that for him. In addition to that kind of goofy moment, just like some animation and sound design choices that I think were really cool in this episode. I already mentioned it, but like the floral animation of, you know, the entrance of these two new demons combined with like the contrast of like the very violent scratching of the arm. Beautiful design choice, I think. And something that I had forgotten about until I watched it again. To get ready for this week's episode. So very cool design choice. Sound design choice that I really loved is the sound of the bells with those two demons that come in at the end. She's like bouncing around the balls, but there's like a bell sound effect that's just so eerie and kind of gives off like those like funeral bells at a like a shrine kind of vibe. I know the only other show that I can think of off the top of my head where I've heard something like that is Naruto. With the Akatsuki, but I really, really like the sound of those bells and how ominous they can be. So those are my favorite things from this week's episode.
I really gotta watch Naruto. That's like the third episode in a row that one of you's made a reference and I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's so good.
Don't you worry.
I was not expecting for that show to have such a death grip on my heart. I used to just call it the orange anime and now it's one of my favorites. So...
Yeah,
I mean, in your defense, I didn't expect Demon Slayer to have the death grip that it has on me now. So,
exactly.
I don't know how many times I've listened to someone say, you need to watch Demon Slayer. And I was just like, I'll watch it when I get around to it. And then when Jordan was like, oh, let's watch Demon Slayer. I was like, okay. And I like half paid attention in the first episode. Anyway, past Hannah was a wild ride. It's actually funny that you mention that you liked kind of like the comedic moment of when Tanjiro's like eating his udon. Because the moment that I loved was also a comedic moment. And it has to do with the voice acting of Tanjiro's Japanese voice actor. First of all, this whole entire scene was hilariously funny to me in like a sweet way. And it's when Yashiro calls Nezuko an eyesore. And Tanjiro is just like lighting him up. Like, how dare he say that about Nezuko? Like, he is fully aware that his sister is like a beauty, which she is. Yashiro was way out of line there. I'll just throw that out there. He's being so protective. But tangent to my favorite part. It's when we get to the wall, right? And Tanjiro's been like yelling at him the whole time. That's what kind of they're telling us. He's still yelling. He's still going over how gorgeous she is. And Yashiro like disappears behind the wall. And Tanjiro goes, "Huh?"
It's perfect. Like, not only
he's like, I wasn't done.
Well, he's so just like shocked by his disappearance too, but he's like so into the conversation that he's having, you know, it's one-sided. He's just yelling at him this whole time. Clearly Yashiro has not said a word since then, and he's so into it that he misses the fact that he disappeared. But then when he does notice that he disappeared, he's just like, huh? And there's a lot of moments like that in anime where it's just like funny little sounds that they make. But sweet Tanjiro, precious Tanjiro, always is just like so wonderful and sweet, and he is going off enough to just freak out. I literally watched that like 2 second period over and over again sometimes just to laugh.
It's a villain in their own right. They think they're so correct.
Or he's just like a serial simp. He's like Tamayo is like, I don't even see other women, do not exist. Like, in my world, don't talk to me, don't look at me, don't breathe at me. I don't care what you are. And I think that that's really funny, too, that they're both, like, so headstrong and just, like, butting. And he's like, I don't need to listen to this. And it's just gone.
And then, huh?
Huh? Eh?
It's great. It's hilarious. I love that Demon Slayer is able to, it's like bipolar, you know, like one moment you're crying and then the next, like the animation and the voice acting is just so hilarious that you're like dying laughing. And it's just like, I don't know how to feel, but they do such a good job at it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of very back and forth with kind of like plot lines, right? With where you're feeling. So the show, obviously, has every right to be the anime we simp for in our hearts. With that being said, that's all the time that we have for today. So you know the drill, right? Go ahead, give us a like, give us a follow, turn your bell icon on so you get notifications when we post. Make sure that you drop some comments for what you guys want to hear us talk about in the future. We're going to be talking about a manga discussion soon. We're going to be talking about some season 3 predictions coming up soon. And of course, we're going to do our weekly episodes of each recap. So you know where to find us, Hashira Half Hour on all of our socials. And we'll see you next week. Umai.
Umai.
Umai.